Don't fake it, just bust a move. This joint is gonna get you in the mood.
All right, check this out. I just got back from Vegas. Longest weekend, but in a short amount of time.
Very long.
Very long, especially for me. I'm going to be sounding like Biggie Smalls this whole episode because I've been attacked by pollen. Is that what it is that's in Vegas, pollen?
I don't know what is in Vegas, but I know it's bad. It's pretty bad.
I can't breathe.
The wind started kicking up, and it was terrible, terrible.
I cannot breathe right now. I'm literally breathing and talking at the same time out of my mouth.
Yeah, it's mouth breathing.
I cannot breathe. There's this pollen stuck in my – I keep taking showers to try and wash it off or whatever it is. I don't know how people survive in Vegas. I really don't. I don't. And that wind was like even worse.
Like 60 miles an hour easy.
Just things toppling over, man. Just trees, tumbleweeds, hookers, everything. Just tumbling all over Vegas.
Yeah, Vegas is one of those places where the first day you get in, you're just like, this is paradise. This is amazing. And 3 days later.
You're like, this dirty, disgusting place.
Get me out of here.
Just sin all over you.
You just go home all dejected, right? You just look like you've just been through everything.
I won.
You won?
I won everything. I took pictures.
Really?
I took pictures.
What do you play?
I'm sure that's illegal.
I only play blackjack. Stupid. I only play blackjack, but I always know how to catch my run. I'm just really good at catching runs. Don't get me wrong. I lose also. But for the most part, I win a lot.
Catch and run.
I do, though. Watch. I'll show you this one hand I hit. And stacks on the table. Dealer showing a 10, right? I got a stack. By the way, I'm talking small nickel stack, so about 110 bucks, right? I get dealt a 12, and I hit that 9. I hit that 9.
So Joe got a jack and a 2.
No. Oh, yeah, I got a jack and a 2.
Dealer's showing queen. He hits, gets the 9.
Exactly. Now let me show you what the dealer had. You ready?
20.
I'm the only one that wins.
Nice.
That's how you play blackjack, yo.
Nice.
Then I do it again. This time with a sack about 500 on the table.
Joe's showing eight. Oh, he got 18 right off the bat.
Dealer bust.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, man, that's a run.
I'm a pro.
You had to stop like, wait, don't touch it.
You know how many times they set the cooler to the table? You know what a cooler is, Nick?
Is it the waitress with the...
No, Nick. The cooler is the guy where the table's hot. They sent someone there to cool it down. Like ruin the energy of the table.
Wait, like another player?
Yeah.
No, they don't.
Yeah,
really?
they set a cooler to the table.
Is that legal? You can't do that.
Yeah, that's legal.
So there's a guy who works for the casino.
That. He'll go there, probably act drunk.
I want that job.
Make bad bets, harass people. What are you talking about? I'm gonna gamble zero.
People always think I'm the cooler than...
Yeah.
I just thought they were
the cooler.
I thought they were complimenting
me. You're just a drunk asshole.
I am cool. Thank you.
I'm cool.
The accidental cooler.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm a cooler.
How much did you win?
I can't play blackjack because I hate how what I do affects everybody else at the table. And all my crazy-ass decisions just ruins everybody else's game.
Okay, if the dealer's showing a 10... And you have a 12. What do? Do you hold or you hit?
I'll hit.
Oh, but then you're not a cooler. You know how to play.
You know what you're doing.
Yeah. All right, cool. Hey, I'm not a cooler. I know what I'm doing. Well, I still haven't. I don't have any money to show for it, but I'm a great blackjack player.
Are you really?
No, I've I just do straight statistics, like basic strategy.
Play like the dealer.
Yeah. That's what I'll do.
I play roulette because I just like to throw money away.
Yeah.
That's craps.
Total game of chance. Just throw it out there.
I think craps is the game of fools.
That's my favorite.
First of all,
game.
The game is called craps.
Right.
And I'm not trying to be funny right now. It literally is called craps for a reason. Because that's what's happening. It's crap. Every time you lose, you say crap.
Yeah.
The game is crap.
Right.
That's a came from.
The chances of winning is crap. You have more chances of hitting a 7 than you do any other roll. They always say hard 8, or they always say 8 and 6 is your rolls, right?
Right.
So whenever they hit, like if the roller's like got a 5, you know what I mean? The roller has to hit a 5 to win.
Yeah.
then you bet the 6 and 8, you know what I mean? Because that's the highest combinations, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Never hits. Never, ever, ever, ever hits. I'll never hit an 8. I'll never hit a 6.
Right.
I'll hit a crap. I swear to God. Clean the whole table out.
Yeah.
7.
This the cooler's throwing.
7.
The cooler's throwing.
What? 7. Why here, roll the dice, cooler. Go. Go, roll it. Go, go. 7.
Oh.
Thanks, Chris Lotsamata. This guy sucks at every game. I'm the worst.
You know, what is it with, because you grew up in Vegas.
Yeah.
And I have an Asian family.
Yeah.
Why do Asians...
Sorry, I have to blow my nose. Is that disgusting? Okay, go ahead.
We'll edit this out. Go ahead.
Okay, go.
Hit it.
Go, go, go.
Why do Asians love gambling so much? Like, why do...
You want to know why?
Everywhere.
Yeah, what is that?
Casino,
I will tell you why.
Every...
I will tell you why. You ready? Because they work 17 hours a day for very little pay. And they take that money and they have to make it ride.
Make it work. Make it work.
Make it work. I worked 17 hours today.
I wondered that too.
I made $175. That's not shit. I need more money. Baccarat, Pai Gow.
All these games are catered to.
Yeah, anything. Anything that has to do with Asian. Baccarat, Pai Gow.
What's the one machine?
Mahjong.
The
Keno. Slots.
I think it's a Japanese machine. The...
What the fuck are you talking about,
the thing that
what
are you, up like
there's a Japanese machine.
I'm going to look at it.
Oh, Plinko. You're thinking about Plinko?
That's Price is Right.
What's the game, Nick?
I think it's Pachinko, but Pachinko. I'll look it up.
Oh, Pachinko. By the way, I perform there all the time. I play Pachinko all the time. I kill it out there.
So I guess the Japanese, what is it, the mob out there, what's it called? The Yuzuka?
Suzuki? Dude, what are you trying to say?
They own
Yakuza.
All of those machines.
That's it. What is it?
Yakuza.
Yeah, Yakuza.
They own all of those machines.
Do they really?
Yeah.
What hotels are they at, though?
In Japanese hotels.
Oh, they're in the Japanese hotel.
Yeah. I don't think they have those.
Well, in the States, they play Baccarat.
Yeah.
That's what the Japanese like to play. And I think the Chinese or whatever like to play Pai Gow.
They love.
Go ahead.
I'm waiting for Joe to blow his nose. They love Pai Gow. They sit there. They camp there, man.
You know why they love Pai Gow? Impossible to lose.
Really?
Yeah, but it's also impossible to win.
Yeah.
No, but it's also impossible to win.
Oh, so your money just doesn't go
anywhere.
Your
buddy's always on the table for a long time. Yeah, because the dealer's chances are second to none.
See, it doesn't sound like then the Asians really want to win big. It's just kind of
a pastime.
Yeah, you're kind of right with the pastime thing.
Yeah.
They don't want to go home. I hate my family. I just want to be here all day, just gamble.
And smoke these cigarettes.
Smoke whole carton of cigarettes. Just play Baccarat all day. I don't want to hear my fucking wife one more time. Cry from baby. Oh, shit. That's not even my baby. I don't even know why I'm talking like that. Yeah, they really do. Baccarat, you can play for a long time with Baccarat.
Hmm.
Baccarat, you can play the player, the banker. You know what I mean? Have you ever played that game?
I have no idea how.
Baccarat's fun. Out of all the games, I like Baccarat Blackjack.
See, I only play craps, and everything else to me is a carnival game.
Why is Baccarat always back in that little sneaky room? What is that about?
It's not the sneaky room. You're thinking of something else. Is it? But Baccarat is a fun game.
But it's always like in the corner, like secluded.
It's a high roller game. It's a big roller game. Like those guys put a lot of money out there on the table.
Got it.
And so they put those guys in the cut.
In the sneaky room.
Yeah. And then, you know, all the crummy, you know, the sleazy players.
Yeah.
You know, the $5 blackjack hands.
Yeah.
Are in the front of the house by the penny slots.
Next to the door.
Yeah, next to the door. Getting their free cocktails and eating a hot dog that they got at Slots of Fun. Dude, when I was in my 20s, I was so bad with it in Vegas.
I was just going to ask, because you lived in Vegas.
Yeah.
So you actually played.
I didn't gamble. I just benefited with what Vegas had to offer. So like the free drinks, you know what I mean? Like,
so you knew all the tricks.
Oh yeah, we knew all the tricks. Like we would buy a roll of $10. Well, back in the day, this is when you could stick quarters in the machines. So when you bought a roll of quarters, it was a free drink. Right. But the thing is, you didn't have to play. You just had to buy the roll of quarters.
Got it.
You get what I'm saying? So you buy the roll of quarters. You could crack it open, put in the thing, whatever. Just play a couple of hands. But by that time, you already got like two shots in you. You know what I mean?
Right.
And then you take a roll of, you take that bucket, go to another bar, buy another roll of quarters. And next thing you know, you got four drinks in you. You're good.
Yeah, and you have a roll of quarters. What is that like?
40 bucks. It's 10 bucks a roll.
10 bucks.
10 bucks a roll.
But you don't even spend it. You spend, at the most, you'll spend $4 for those,
but
those shots.
But if you take it and you sit at the slot, at a slot machine or something, and you just, you just go, you know, bet minimum bet every time, the waitress comes by, and those are free drinks too, right?
No, no, no. But see, I got it. When you sit at the bar, if you buy a roll of quarters for the bartender, the bartender gives you a free drink.
Nice.
Yeah, and that's certain hotels. It was like, I can't remember the hotels, but it was like Slots of Fun. All the side dig places, the ones that, you know, not the big, not Mirage or anything like that. You had to go to like this, the creepy ones.
Right.
Like Slots of Fun.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, like downtown.
Well, not even that. There's even those
like
little creepy ones that are like, no, but like the ones that are in between like O'Shea's and all, you know what I'm talking about?
Oh,
they're
in between Harris and Imperial. They're still on the strip.
Yeah,
they're still
on the strip, but they're just the creepy ones that had like this small space between Imperial Palace and Harrah's or whatever.
I love how O'Shea's wasn't a creepy one, though, right?
Oh, it's creepy. Back in my day, it was creepy.
O'Shea's, they had beer pong. Like,
that's creepy.
It's kind of nice now, but yeah, they had beer pong. So you would you would walk, and your foot would come out of your shoe because the floor was so sticky.
That's so gross.
That's disgusting.
That's so gross. That's gross. Everything there is gross.
Yeah, super fun. Great nights there.
Dude, I remember going there for 99-cent hot dogs, and it was these big, massive hot dogs. It was just the most disgusting thing. But when you're poor,
holding his hands like 2 feet wide.
Yeah, it's like 2 feet. But I'm not even joking. It was this big. And it was just like, I remember eating and going, God, this is just the grossest shit. But I'm starving.
Right.
And it's only a dollar.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm going to get full, you know, on this shit.
The feet-long hot dog.
I mean, $5. I had a great evening.
Right.
Yeah. But that's old Vegas.
Yeah, you could have fun. I have family in Vegas. Yeah, they do. They have fun.
You know what's crazy? They don't do the quarters anymore. You get vouchers now.
Yeah. Yeah, you get the little ticket.
And I missed the whole, you know, I was talking to, you know, Amy's mom came down to Vegas, and that's one thing she talked about. She's like, I miss putting the quarters in.
Yeah,
you
and
know,
like,
the sound and the feel, like bling,
it's
bling,
the feel
bling,
of it,
bling,
yeah.
Bling. Like you felt
dropping the quarters
going. Yeah, she felt. You felt like a high roller when you stuck 5 in.
Your soul sucking out of you?
Yeah. You felt like your soul leaving your body through quarters. But you also felt like a high roller.
Yeah.
When you win, ding, 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 ding.
Yeah, like, and they clank on the tray at the bottom.
Yeah, that sound.
Not anymore. You know what's even more pathetic? When you get your voucher, when you press the voucher button, it gives you your winnings. It makes the sound of the quarters hitting the little thing.
Yeah. But the voucher comes out.
Ting, 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 ting.
But the voucher comes out really slow.
Oh, so slow.
And it's like, what?
Yeah, so slow.
You know, your winnings, back in the day, your winnings came out like, they poured out. And it was like.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Poured out. Yeah, yeah. Lights went off.
Now
people gathered around.
Now you got the voucher.
Homeless people are like, you need help with those quarters? I can help you with those quarters. Get this. Amy played penny slots.
This weekend?
Penny slots. Guess how much she won? 300.
Oh, my God.
What? Gemma played penny slots also.
How much did she lose? I know Gemma lost.
She was up 20.
Yeah.
And gave it all back.
You know why? I know why Gemma lost. You want to know why? She played one penny at a time.
Absolutely.
One penny at a time.
Absolutely.
The worst gambler in the world.
Passing time.
She'll win. Oh, I got 3 sevens.
Yeah, oh, my God.
Oh, you just won 4 cents.
It's like you. It's almost like you were there. That's exactly what happened.
I'm not here to gamble. I'm just here to have fun. Yeah, that's horrible. Amy won $300 on a penny slot. I was like, yo, what?
Damn.
She goes, that's how I do.
Yeah, well.
That's what she said. That's how I do. She'll play around. What'd you play again? Roulette is the worst. Roulette is the dumb man's
game. I love it. Wait.
How do you play it?
What do you mean?
Tell me how you vote. What's your strategy?
I put $5 on 35. And then I
just
and then I play.
You play one number, dick.
No. I just play the middle. I don't play the dozen.
Oh, you play the middle three. The middle line.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
Yeah. And then I'll play the zeros.
Well, you have to play zeros.
Yeah. But I don't play the outsider.
Go ahead, Nick.
The last time we were in Vegas,
Joe had actually paid Dylan and I back for like lunch we had got. He gave us $20, and the first thing we did was put $20 on 23 for Michael Jordan, and we lost your $20 immediately.
That's funny because I do play 23 for Jordan though. That's weird. Yeah.
Do
me
you
too.
Really?
I do.
Me too,
yeah.
All the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's like Black Jesus.
You kind of have to.
You have to, yeah. Yeah. Mm. It's like homage.
Black Jesus.
It's Black Jesus.
I swear to God, as soon as you said that, the vision of our picture, our family picture came up.
Oh,
again.
My God.
So as soon as you said Black Jesus.
Let me tell you something. So anyways, it was the meeting of the families. So Amy's parents came down. Her sister came down. And now they're finally going to meet my sister.
Oh, in Vegas.
Because they already
oh.
know Gemma. But now they're going to meet my sister, Rowena, my stepdad, Fred, and my mom. Crazy Josie.
Were you nervous?
Well, yeah, I was crazy. I was very nervous. You know what I mean? Like, which mom am I going to get? So we go to Olive's at the Bellagio.
Beautiful, by the way.
Beautiful, man. Whoever hooked it up, man. Big shout out to every Michelle Knowles over at Treasure Island and everybody. VIP over at Treasure Island, they hooked it up, man. They gave us the dinner of our life, man. They sat us on the patio. The water show that's in Bellagio, they were setting that off every 5 minutes for me. Like, it was so
check
nice.
Out, check how big time that is, bro.
It was so nice. The chef.
The fountains, went off for you?
Wait, yeah, they did.
They changed the timing of the fountain.
Shut up.
For this guy.
They did.
That's major, right?
They did.
No shit.
For me.
Damn.
It was really cool. And they sat us right up against the chef brought us all kinds of food for the table.
What?
Yeah, they hooked us up, man. Yeah. But big shout out to Olive's at the Bellagio, you guys. If you're ever going to eat anywhere in Vegas, go to Olive's inside the Bellagio. It is by far great food, great service. Paul was our waiter.
Paul.
And
great.
And just everything, from the wait staff to everything. But anyways, back to the story. And of course, we have everybody there. So everyone's there. And we take this big family photo.
So, real quick, Olive's, they have a photographer that comes out and says and takes pictures of your party.
Like a house photographer.
Yeah. Oh,
right?
Yeah.
So she sets us up in front of the fountains, right? We wait for the fountains to go off. And she sets us all up. You know, all the parents are sitting down at the base of the table. Then the kids are right behind the parents, right? Standing up behind them. Guess who is dead center? Like, with his hands wrapped around all of the family members. Who do you think, Nick?
Carrot Top.
No. You dick. Not even paying attention to the story. Who do you think?
Black Jesus.
Black Jesus, baby.
Black Jesus has his arms.
Like the Passover picture.
Around this white family. Like he's saying, I'm feeding you, my children. Welcome to my family.
Welcome.
Go for
welcome.
It.
And we were all happy to be part of Dre's family.
Cheesing, bro.
Cheesing.
Everybody's
hard.
Cheesing ear to ear.
I'm going to post a picture. Can we post it on Corolla too?
Yeah.
We'll post it. I want everyone to see this video. It'll be on my – it's going to be on everyone's – everyone. It'll be on Amy's. It'll be on yours, Dre. It'll be on everyone. You got to see this family picture. It actually is a beautiful picture.
It is.
Really is. Like, everybody looked beautiful. Like, my stepdad, Fred, he's going through some shit. But, man, he cheesed up real good when that camera went off. He looked like a million goddamn dollars. He was like, we're taking a picture. Let me take this oxygen tank off real quick so I can breathe for half a second for this picture. It was really cool, man. Love that, man.
We had a great time, though.
We got a good family.
Yeah. Yeah.
Time heals things.
I joke around a lot, but, man, it's good to see, like my sister. Oh, God. I was so nervous,
but, like, my sister came around. She was a lot of fun. My mom was a lot of fun. She had all her gold on. That's a Filipino thing.
That's respect.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
That's respect.
And wait, we're not talking about, like, little trinkets, bro.
Hey,
we're talking
man.
Like 24 karat gold.
My mom went straight to China. This gold. This is a,
oh, I know.
This is a real yellow gold. She brought it all out, man. She looked like Slick Rick, the ruler. She put on every gold chain she had. She was like, oh, I'm going to meet Amy's mother? Well, let's see if she has this. I have all the gold in the world. It was clanking every time she grabbed her
right,
wallet.
Right.
Oh, yeah. They do it on purpose, though.
They move it around.
This is what my mom's bracelet sounds like.
Sounds like a slot machine.
This is her cutting her steak. Sorry, it's my gold chain. Sorry, I was just stirring my tea. Sorry, I'm just getting a piece of cake. Sorry, I was scratching my head. Sorry, I was just shaking my wrist so you could hear that sound again. Gold, gold, gold.
Yeah.
That's a Filipino thing, isn't it?
Gold coins, brand handbags.
Okay, I'm going to talk to you. We're going to go into the race situation. You okay. ready? Okay. And we were talking about this because what were we talking about in Vegas? Something about – you said Filipinos and black people are kind of like the same.
Some of the cultures
black,
are very –
I think black, so. Black,
the cultures are very close.
And yeah. what I said to you was it comes from poverty.
Okay. Yeah.
When you're broke, you do stuff.
Right.
Filipinos are broke people.
Yeah.
Like, you think black people are broke? This, you know what I mean? Go to the Philippines. You will see some broke people.
That's a whole different level of poverty.
That's yeah. a whole different yeah. level of yeah. poverty.
I agree with that.
I could believe what I would see when I went to the Philippines. When I went to go see where my aunt lived, and I'm like, yo, you don't have windows?
Right.
Like, what? But you have a door. What?
Right.
No windows.
Right.
Just climb right in. Seabed floor, no bed, sleeping on these wood-like things. You know what I mean? And it's crazy, man, when you see that, man. It humbles you. Really. But yeah. but from that comes creativity, mm-hmm. comes, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Different type of, I don't know how to say it, but like different forms of entertainment.
Right.
Like that's why we're so entertaining, I guess, because yeah. we're so broke we can't afford to buy entertainment. Right. Well, you know what I mean? Why go watch someone sing when we can sing?
It's yeah. like when you talked about the cookie containers.
Yeah.
And I was like, I grew up with those at my grandmother's yeah. house. And they were sewing kits.
Yeah.
My whole life.
Yeah, you had the same metal cans, but, like the coffee cans, right?
Yeah, but here's the thing, though. You don't know that other people are having that same experience until somebody mentions it and you go, you too?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's especially from a different culture.
Dude, I remember going to my dad's dad, and I never really identified.
Nick is looking at us like sewing kit.
Well, he was broke too. He's from Wisconsin.
Oh, okay,
yeah,
you got it.
Yeah, yeah. Things died in his refrigerator. He just called it cheese. Like, well, I'll spread that on some bread. But yeah, but I remember going to my dad's house,
uh-huh.
my grandpa, but I don't really know him. But right. But back, you know, I remember going there and just like. Yo, you guys all have grease on the by the sink,
right?
You know what I mean? Like, right. you got what do you mean? You don't eat fish? Like, what do you mean? What's salmon? Like,
right.
salmon was rich people's food. Yeah. Like, where's the head at?
Right.
Like, don't you fry the head too? Like,
yeah.
It was so weird seeing the way they didn't have chicken on the bone because my dad never ate chicken on the bone. He hated chicken on the bone. He still to this day will not eat chicken on the bone.
Wow,
has to be a breast of chicken.
Wow,
or chicken tenders. You know what I mean? So imagine my house, I mean where I lived, and they go to their house. You're like, yo, what is all this?
Yeah.
What is butter?
Yeah.
You mean spread? You mean margarine? That's what we had.
Yeah.
Country crock was our butter.
Right, right.
And then Tupperware.
Dude, I remember Tupperware. Oh, dude, Cool Whip containers.
Yep.
Anything that was a butter container was Tupperware. We would have butter containers in our – you remember Blue Bonnet?
Yeah.
Dude, we would have Blue Bonnet in our fridge so long. We would use it so long. It would just say on it. All the other letters have rubbed off. Just say on it.
Right.
Danish cookies, that is real.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The metal blue Danish tins, cookies. Man, my mom would buy those. Yes.
Yeah.
My mom literally would buy that for a sewing kit.
Yeah.
She would ask people at work, hey, if you don't need those containers, I'll take that home.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
She'd come home with like a bag full of Cool Whip. I'm like, ooh, Cool Whip. No, just containers.
Yeah.
Fill that up with rice.
Yeah.
Or eat your cereal out of it.
Yeah.
Put your knickknacks in there. Put popcorn in there. Enjoy your little Tupperware.
My grandma used to take like my old underwear, my old jeans and stuff, and she'd use them as floor mats. Like, oh, she would cut them because she lived with me. So then when my friends would come over, they'd just see, like, a piece of my jeans like on the floor. Like, and that was, like, where you, like, wipe
you your
feet.
You to pick up your clothes, Chris?
No. My grandmother's cleaning the house.
So this leads me to the gold chains. When you see Slick Rick or you see Rakim,
right.
you see all the cats from, like, the 80s rocking the big, fat gold chains or whatever it may be. It's part of that particular environment that they live in.
Mm.
It's like bank account. I need to show you motherfuckers how to make money.
I got
to
show you.
I have to show you that I am richer than you.
Yeah.
No, that's real talk.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's real, and that's why they do it. Like, people don't understand, like you know, people that aren't from, like, how we grew up, yeah. you know what I mean? Like, they don't go, oh, well, they're just, well, yo, that's why they spend their money on that. It's like, yeah. no, it's a mental thing. It's like, imagine being broke your whole life, and then when you finally make money, you want to show people
right.
that you made it. And well, how else do you show? You can't show your damn.
And if the assumption is that when you look at me, your assumption is I don't have nothing, I got to put it on the outside.
Yep, I got to put it on. I got to wear it around my neck.
I got to show you.
Yeah.
Right here, right now.
This is the class that I'm in.
Yeah.
But that's the same thing with Filipinos. You'll see them. When they start making a little bit of money, you'll see the open collared shirt with the gold chain.
Right. Yeah.
You'll see the 1,000 wrists, you know, the
bracelet.
Yeah,
the bangles.
Yo,
all
the way up the arm. You saw my mom.
Yeah.
I grew up with all that, too. They called it hood rich, right?
Yeah, hood rich.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just you look the part,
yo.
And then you go, you know, you go home. It's like, oh wait, no.
Yo, Well, Jim will tell you about Aunt. But we had family, but I don't want to say the names out there. Yeah. But I'll just say, like, let's just say, outside of the home, everyone always assumed that this family had that money, You know what I mean?
Right.
Everyone had that car. You know what I mean? The parents had that Mercedes.
Right.
You know what I mean? They all had that. Whatever shoe came out, they had it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I knew they didn't have it.
Yeah.
There was 15 of the motherfuckers living in the same house.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And none of them, no one put money into the savings account. No one put money back into the house. Everyone wore their paychecks.
Right.
And, you know, that's what they did. It was just, I want to say the name so bad, but it was just like, God, dude, like. But it was normal for me because that's what I always saw. I just saw all my family doing stuff like that, broke at home. You know what I mean? But
and everybody,
that Mercedes.
And a lot of people criticize that. But man, if that's what's going to get you up tomorrow to keep doing whatever it is you got to do,
yeah, man. But who's to say what you do with your money, anyways?
True.
And here's another thing because I've always been a believer of this, and I never heard it from someone. I just did it. Like, when I was a kid, I don't know what it is, man, but I – like, the stuff that I see now, like you know, The Secret and all that, like when someone gave me The Secret, I was like – when they gave me the DVD and I watched it, I was like, yo, I already do this.
Yeah.
Like, I've always been that visualizer. Like, I've always been, like, that guy that would dress up. Because I want – okay, how
you
am I
dress the part of
I would dress the
of
part.
What you wanted to be.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would wear it. Like, I'm going to look good, just mm-hmm. like Kanye said. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. he'd spend his check on Versace like that. You know what I mean? Like,
you carved out that identity.
Yeah, you do, man. Because when you do that, you can only continue to be that.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, right. you keep working for that.
Right.
It's like this weird, like, subliminal goal, I guess. Is that right? Subliminal? No, like,
it's a you,
what's the word
you
I'm looking for?
You manifest whatever
you're exactly, dude.
To,
yeah.
It's Muhammad Ali. Like, I am the greatest.
Yeah, man. When you say that stuff, it really happens. The more you say it, the more it happens, man. It's so crazy, dude.
I'm going to tell you, when I was a kid, and I was, and you know that I played basketball in college, right?
Yeah, man.
That, everything about my childhood was about visualization.
Yeah. But you didn't know, right?
Yeah, we didn't have shit. You know what I mean? I didn't know how I was going to get there. I just visualized and told myself this is what I'm going to be.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
Yeah, and it's real.
And that's why it's called The Secret. That's why that thing that came out, oh, I'm sorry, but that's why they call it The Secret, because I feel like everybody before that DVD came out, it wasn't their secret. It was just they were doing it.
Yeah.
And everyone would always walk up to me like, yo, how did you get there, Joe? How did you do that? And it was like, I just did it. Mm-hmm. I never knew how to tell people what I did.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I didn't tell everybody like, oh, I visualize it. I didn't know how to say it in words. I just did it.
Yeah.
It was so cool to go back to – I'm sorry to walk on your story. But,
no, you're good.
But you're right, though, because what you did is the same thing, man. With Michael Jordan – like, look at Michael Jordan's family. They're all tiny.
Yeah.
All of them. If you see his brother Robert, it's Robert Jordan, right? His brother?
I don't know. It's
Robert Jordan looks just like Michael, right? Well, actually, he looks like his dad. But anyways, he plays and looks just like Michael. Go to YouTube and download it, watch it. But, like, you can tell Michael mimicked his brother.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he plays, his swag, the way he dunks. His brother's 5'8".
Right. Right.
5'8", bro. Imagine 1982, this little 5'8 black guy flying in the air like that.
Right.
Right. Not even 82. We're talking like 79.
Right.
Michael Jordan was drafted in 84.
Yeah.
So just imagine the 79. Like, you know what I mean? Like, right. All the way the guys played back in 79. Like, look at look at Dr. J. Right. Look at Larry Nance. Right. Like, right. Look at the way these guys played. It was like, Robert was like, he was that guy. And then Michael was looking at him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then Michael was the one, because Robert didn't have the visualization. Michael right. was the one that was like, I want to be an NBA superstar.
Yeah.
Like, when I watched Come Fly With Me, like, he said that he would hang upside down. Yeah. Right? Didn't he say he would hang upside down on the monkey bars and make himself stretch?
Yeah.
Because he knew he had to be tall.
I wish I knew that trick.
No, this is real, though. This is crazy. Because how is it this whole family?
Focused.
I'm not, look, I'm not saying, I'm not telling you guys to go, if you want to be tall, go stretch. What I'm saying is, yo, sometimes when you visualize stuff, it just happens.
Because what's the other answer of how he got to be 6'6"?
I'm not saying that he stretched to make himself 6'6", but what I'm saying is.
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm sorry. I'm saying. Out of his visualization of what it is he needed to be.
Exactly.
The universe or whatever you want to call it knew that he needed that to make it happen.
And he did whatever it took. Remember he got cut from his JV? He went to a JV in ninth grade, which clearly this guy should have been playing varsity when he was like 6 years old. You know what I mean? He's the greatest to ever play the game. But it was that sparked him, and then he had to I don't know. It's just – this is a crazy – I'm taking a crazy turn. But what I'm saying is it's like – no one told him to do that. He just – he had this goal, and he was like, I'm going to get there.
Yeah.
And I'm going to do whatever it takes to get there. Right. No one's going to get inside my lane, and I'm going to do it. Sorry, Mom, I can't eat because I'm hanging upside down for 6 hours.
Right.
But as funny as that sounds, he really did it.
That's so nuts. I didn't know that.
He really did that, bro.
That documentary, yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Because that was his level of determination.
Now, here's another funny thing. Okay, Jeremy Lin did the same damn thing, and he's the tallest one out of his whole family. His dad is like 5'4 in Chinese.
Crazy.
His mom's like 5'5 or whatever. She's the tallest, I think. Now, I'm exaggerating with the heights, by the way, but when you watch it, you'll see what I'm talking about. They're like 5 foot something, both of them, mom and dad. The sons are all small, you know what I mean? But for some reason, he's 6'2".
Right.
I'm going to start holding, like when I have a kid, just hold him upside down, like our phone will grow.
Bro, if you want to watch a cool documentary, watch the Jeremy Lin documentary.
It's
very touching.
I didn't even know there was one.
Bro, it is beyond good.
I loved Linsanity. I was in it. I loved it.
You need to watch the documentary because you'll love it even more. Talk about visualization. Talk about determination. Talk about like – no opportunity is even going your way, no matter how good he was state-wise. He was the best player in the state, bro. No one gave two shits.
Yeah.
This fool hurt himself, and literally his team went, like, to shit. Yeah. Like, they went from state champion potential to, like, oh, they're not going to make it because Jeremy Lin's out. That's how good Jeremy Lin was.
Yeah.
All throughout, like, when his childhood, he was, like, the smallest Asian guy. But he's lighting it up. Lighting it up. But then everyone's like, oh, look at the cute little Asian guy.
Yeah, you don't associate those two things together.
No, man.
You don't see NBA.
Yeah.
NBA kid.
Bro, you got to watch his high school championship game. Unbelievable. He was.
Really?
Yo, dude, he was so good. And then he couldn't even get drafted by, like, Duke or anybody didn't want him. Because of his cosmetic makeup.
Yep.
You know what he had to do? He got in with his grades, bro. Harvard.
Yeah.
Grades. Yep. That's how he got his basketball scholarship, because he was smart.
Damn.
Then that was the first time he brought Harvard to, like, anywhere.
Yeah.
Everyone was talking about Harvard, playing basketball. It had nothing to do with Harvard. It was all about Jeremy Lin. I'm sidetracking again. I tend to go off on these rants. But he's
You have to watch that, though. It's great. It's a great story.
You want to motivate yourself? Look at those two gentlemen. Michael Jordan. Look at Jeremy Lin. You know what I mean? Like, talk about against all odds. And then they were just like, no, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. You can tell me it's not going to happen. Oh, you're going to make me JV player? I'm going to be the greatest of all time. Watch.
Right.
Oh, I can't play because I'm Chinese? Oh, watch this. Watch what I'm about to do. Dude, he slept on – what's his name? Spencer? Oh, God, what was his name? Felton Spencer? Was that his name? No.
Raymond Felton?
Who's Felton Spencer? Anyways, he was playing for the NBA, and he's sleeping on a teammate's couch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he was one game away from, whoop, Like, gone.
He was on a 10-day contract, I think.
And they were like, yeah, this might be your last game. Yeah. And he was depressed. He was, like, talking to his... You know, he said he didn't even take anything out of his luggage. He was so depressed. Because he was just getting bumped all around the league. Down to the D League, everything. He was just like, just give me a shot.
Was that right before the Kobe game?
No. That's Linsanity right there. That's when Linsanity kicked up.
That was crazy.
Oh, wait. No, that's Linsanity, because that's when Kobe said he didn't know what's his
Jeremy.
It was I can't remember. Was it the Toronto game? Anyways, he just had that game. One
breakout game.
Yeah, breakout game where he just lit it up.
I remember.
That squad was good, bro.
Yeah.
They should have broke that team up. They should have kept that team.
And also, yeah, and D'Antoni.
They had Stoudemire,
too.
They had Anthony Carmelo.
Yeah.
If I was a GM, I would have been like, you know, I'm gonna roll with this for a little bit.
Right.
I'm gonna let you guys go. Let's let these guys play. These players that are only getting a couple hundred grand. Right. Why are we paying Carmelo $20 million a year?
I don't know, man. That was a wild time. Like he became world famous.
Yeah.
Because of that. Like it just like
but it was amazing.
Heads were turning.
But he deserved it though.
What
he was so
is
good.
Going on?
Make sure you guys watch it. It's called Linsanity. It really is amazing. They have every single bit of footage on this guy. From
like middle school.
Beyond that. Yeah. From grade school.
Yeah.
It takes you all the way up to the day he hit that shot against Toronto. It's amazing, man.
That's on Netflix, man.
Yeah, you should watch it. Oh, speaking of Netflix, March 28th.
Did you like that segue?
Hey, talking about visualization. I can't even say it. How do you say that word, Nick? Say it.
Visualization.
Yeah, talk about that. March 28th is my Netflix special.
Woo!
Yep. And you know what's so fun, Dre? We were in Vegas, and I sold out Mystere Theater.
I saw some of the videos.
Chris, we sold out every single seat. There's 16
a huge theater.
1,616 seats. And I don't mean to brag, but they sold every single seat. I don't think there was a single seat in there.
And it's a semicircle. So there's seats on the side of you.
Yeah. No, they sold all of them. They had handicapped seats. They sold all of them. It was crazy.
Bravo, man.
Yeah, thank you.
And I do want to say this, man, and this might sound partially biased, but I've seen a lot of your show.
Yeah.
Over the past.
Well, you have to by law.
Yeah. Right. It was a different level.
Oh, thank you.
I want to say it was a different level for you, man.
Yeah, I was
blown away.
It was fun, bro.
Yeah.
I came with it on that one. I really did come with it. I had so much family there. And I was just like, yo, 1,600. Like, I was just so, because I've sold that place out before, but there's always seats available. You know what I mean?
Yeah, at the very end, it'll be like, oh, I can grab a ticket.
It'll be like 1,590, 1,580. You know what I mean? 16. This one was completely sold out,
yeah,
bro. They didn't have any seats. People were waiting in line for standby. It was like
every
that.
Every chair filled.
Yeah. And I was just like, backstage, I was just hyped, man. I was like, yo, I got to come with it on this one. You know, my boy Chase DeRusso opened for me. He killed it.
He killed.
Drake.
Killed.
If you guys want to check him out, go to Chase DeRusso. Follow him at Chase DeRusso. He was so funny. He's out in Houston doing things. But I had to follow him. He killed it that night. I was like, when
you
I heard
like
the laughter,
that,
I love it, dude.
Yeah.
I love it when someone kills in front of me. I don't give two shits, man. I don't care who's in front of me. If I hear applause breaks, I just start getting amped. Like, my energy gets going.
What's your flowing. Do you have a pre-show ritual before you head out?
I used to like jump around, but
the blood pumping.
Now it's just what I hear. If I hear it, I get motivated.
It just turns on.
Yeah. If I hear it, like, I always tell the guys that go in front of me, kill it, man. Like, do it. Do your thing. Give all your stuff. Give all your A stuff. Give it to me. Because I want to follow it. Because if I bomb, then I ain't doing good. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't deserve this spot. I gotta make these people feel like I deserve that spot, you know?
Yeah.
But talk about visualization, man. In Vegas, that's where I started my stand-up, 1989. I got booed off of I didn't get booed, but no one was laughing. You know what I mean? And then the guy on the side was like waving me off, like, get off the stage, because I would get off the stage. And that was at the Tropicana. I'm pretty sure there's a video of it. I know they recorded it for sure. But it's at the Tropicana. It was called the Biggest Fools Contest. And it was a competition during March. And then whoever won gets to perform with a headliner on April Fool's Day. So it was called the Biggest Fool. of Vegas, and I lost that. I lost that. I was the biggest fool day one.
Damn.
And that was 1989, and then like it was just a series of just bombs everywhere. You know what I mean? I was blowing it up before they were blowing it up.
Right.
I was lighting bombs off in Vegas, Dre. I was so bad, bro. But in my head, I was funny.
Right.
I never said I was going to stop, but I just kept going. And then finally, it started taking off at this coffee house, man, Buzzy's Cafe. I had like this one set where someone laughed at a joke and clapped.
Yeah.
And I called it an applause break. But yeah. There was only six people in the audience. But I heard one guy go like this. Turn out, this is what it sounded like. I don't know if I told this story. Have I told this story before?
No.
So it's at a coffee house. It was called Buzzy's Cafe, right? And I forgot what joke I said, bro. It was something sexual. It was something, you know, just juvenile. Something that a 20-year-old would say. You know what I mean? But it was just – it was a sex joke. And then all of a sudden I heard, ha, ha. I swear to God, dude. I couldn't wait to go home and press play on my camcorder because I recorded all my sets.
Yeah.
Because I remember driving home, I was like, yo, I got an applause break. I just got an applause break.
Wow.
Applause breaks where you hear the whole room clapping right. And just going crazy. They don't laugh. They clap. This was one man out of an audience of five, maybe. One was just there to get the fucking coffee. He looked up and was like, when's this shit going to stop? Hey, when's this guy going to stop talking on stage? And the guy went, ha! Ha! Dude, I still have that videotape. I should post it.
Wow.
And I remember watching it, just going, yo. Dick. I rewound it all the way to my punchline. Dicks. And that's what you call a dick.
So juvenile.
That's all I had, man. Dick jokes.
So and in your mind, you were like, it's on.
Yeah.
It's
I remember,
on.
I remember, oh, yeah, yeah. It was on, bro. Like fire. I was on fire.
Yeah.
You couldn't stop me at that point.
Right.
I mean, like, before that, I'm not even joking. Before that applause break, I was nervous all week because I knew, because every Wednesday was the open mic night at Buzzy's.
Yeah.
And I was nervous all week, man. I was just like, yo, man, what am I going to say, dude? Are they going to laugh, blah, blah, blah. No one's in the fucking audience, by the way.
Right.
Maybe three or four people. And then a bunch of comics standing in the back. So your goal was to try and make the comics laugh, basically. And I was like, all week, like, oh, man, what am I going to do, dude? This is going to suck. Oh, shit, man. Then I got that. Ha! I was like, it's over.
Yeah.
Over, bro. I remember I walked to the back. Some of the comics were like, yo, how long have you been doing this, dude? Like, yo, you're so good. I was like, oh, I just started. Just started. Dude, you're a natural. I lied. I didn't just start. Bombed everywhere.
Yeah.
They just didn't know of me.
Right.
Bombed at this place called The Loose Caboose. I bombed on this show called Star Mania. My sister was on this show, Rowena.
Yeah.
She was singing on this show. It was kind of like a star search. And it was a traveling star search, right? And it, like these bars would buy the idea Star Mania. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
And then it was a competition at these bars. And every round you won, they go to like the Showboat Hotel. And that's where the final was. You get it?
Yeah.
No one knew I was on this competition. My whole family, everyone thought that only Rowena was on it. And I signed up for it. And it was a bar on Jones Boulevard in Tropicana. I still go to that bar. And that stage is still there. So crazy. I bombed so bad. So bad, man. My mouth started getting cotton mouth. You know where your tongue sticks to the roof of your mouth? And the guy before me was a Lionel Richie impersonator. He's saying like, you know what I mean? Like, you know, I don't know, three times a lady. You know, he went, oh, yeah.
All night long.
Yeah, yeah. Well, no, that, yeah, like all night long. Yeah, like that's what he was singing. And then he killed. Of course he killed. Of course he crushed, right? He sounded just like Lionel Richie. He basically won that night.
Nice.
But anyways, I remember bombing so bad, and I sat next to this guy because I wouldn't leave. Because when you bomb, I don't know what it is about bombing. When you bomb so bad, one, you won't get off the stage. For some reason, there's this thing inside you that's like, don't get off the stage. Continue bombing.
Right. Yeah.
Like, for some reason, you don't want to go, good night. Or that's my time. Hey, I suck. Sorry. You know what I mean? No one apologizes.
It's kind of like me at the roulette table, right? I just won't leave.
Yes!
Like
that? Yeah. It's the same thing. No matter how bad you lose, you want to keep playing, right? Same thing with stand-up. No matter how bad you are, you won't bite the bullet. You won't. Watch any comic that's on stage, like an open micer, watch them. Watch them just eat shit for 25 minutes. And everyone's like, is he going to get off the stage? He won't. In his head, he's determined that one fucking joke is going to hit it.
He's got that one.
And it won't. It won't. And I'm not talking shit. Any open micer that's out there, just listen to me, man. Just get the fuck off. Just get off. That day was not your day.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Your light is up. The light is on. You haven't had one laugh. All you have to say is, sorry, guys, or just, all right, bye. Just say it.
Got to accept it and learn from it.
But I understand what you guys are going through, you guys. So don't think I'm just talking shit because I was in your shoes. I did that. You know how many times I bombed and would stay on stage? And people were like, get the fuck off. I wouldn't. I would stay up there. Stay up there and talk. I would even do this for a minute. What the fuck am I on? You're thinking of another bad joke? Anyways.
Like you led with all your bad stuff.
Yeah,
And you've got some good stuff in the return.
Yeah, I got some good shit. So, what?
Get off the stage.
Hold on, sir. I got something. This is going to be for you, for real.
You suck.
And then it gets into a fight. So does your mom. Like, that's not even funny. That's stupid. Why'd you say that?
God.
But anyways, I got off the stage, and that Lionel Richie guy was like, hey, man, I will tell you this. This is a true story, bro. I wish I knew this guy's name. I should do research. Because I was depressed, man. This is the one where I penciled in my mustache, my mom. I grew up my baby hair.
What? I don't know this.
I didn't have a mustache. I had baby hair, like the Asian mustache.
Yeah.
And the bar is 21 and over. I'm only 19. You know what I'm saying? So I grew it all week, right? The hair.
Yeah.
And I used my mom's eyeliner and made it really dark. Swear to God. It was the darkest thin hair mustache you'll ever see. Swear to God. And I got in because I wore a tie. And they let me in. And I sat down next to this guy that clearly won. And he goes, I'll tell you this much. You got stage presence, man. That's what he said to me.
Yeah.
I didn't even know what stage presence meant.
Right.
He's like, I'll tell you this much, man. You got stage presence. The way you're on stage, man, like, I enjoyed watching you on stage. So don't stop. He said that to me. I wish I knew this guy's name, man. I tell the story all the time. Because it was like, he was that guy he's that guy. Like, I needed to hear that. Because if my mom would have came with me, and saw that, she was like, what the fuck were you doing? Don't ever do that again, and don't ever bring me here. That was embarrassing. Yeah. You know what I mean? I needed that guy. And it helped.
You need to hear that sometimes, right?
You need to hear that.
To tell you.
No matter how small it is, you just need to hear.
Yeah, that little compliment will motivate you. And it did.
Yeah.
And from that point, when I killed it at Buzzy's, when I got that huge applause break, I didn't stop, dude. And that's why – that whole visualization, I was on that journey. I was in that path. You know what I mean? I stayed in that lane.
Yeah.
And I continued. I had that drive, man. And I was like, why am I going to go to catch a rising star? I got all these – you know, I had this opportunity where I was performing for headliners. But I noticed everyone in the audience were coming to see me.
Right.
Like, why am I giving this headliner all this money? Like, I'm getting like $100 a show. This guy's caking off of my fans. And I was like, yo, I'll just start doing my own shows. Right. I started renting out theaters, selling tickets. Made that my money that way.
Yeah.
I was flying out comics. I was getting sponsors to pay for the. Yo, it's so crazy. It came full circle because this optometrist, his name is Chen Young, Optic Gallery. If you're ever in Vegas, go visit Optic Gallery and visit Chen Young's office. And he's got 14 of them now. But when I met him, he only had one.
Right.
And he sponsored my first shows.
Wow.
He would always sponsor me. We're best friends to this day.
Wow.
Talk about visualization. He only had one little tiny store next to Albertsons. Now he has 14.
Yeah.
Huge.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And we both compare stories. It's like, yo, he wanted to be like the next lens crafter, but like a higher end.
Mm-hmm.
Get your glasses the same day. And, you know, but it's a high end store. But whatever, man. It's just like when you dream it, it'll happen, you know? But like it was so cool to finally get on stage at Mystere because I was like, I always wanted to be on the Strip.
Right.
And now I'm here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I have a residency here at Treasure Island. every year I play this room.
Right. That's a legendary theater too, man.
Yeah, like, man. That's like, the original. That was the original theater. That's the one that set Vegas off. Because before that, it was all Vegas
everywhere.
Well, just
up.
Not only that, but before Mystere, it was all about Siegfried and Roy and Splash and all those like burlesque shows.
Yeah.
Mystere was the first Cirque du Soleil to come to Vegas, and it was the first stage that was ever built for that type of performance. You know what I mean? So just being on that stage is legendary, man. But that's why I was telling every news report that I did, you know, all the newscasts that I did, I told that story. I was like, yo, man, it started off at a cafe in front of UNLV to be rent theaters, and now I'm on the Strip.
Right.
So if you dream it, it'll happen.
Yeah.
And I want something bigger. And that's Netflix, and I got it.
Woo!
March 28th. Go see it.
Yeah.
Get Netflix. Subscribe now.
So I went down to Senior Frogs on Saturday night.
Oh, geez.
So I went down to Senior Frogs on Saturday night.
Oh, geez. Talk about it.
No, I went on Friday. I go on Friday. We have a friend that's a resident DJ there. So we get down there. He hooks us up with this guy that's gonna, you know, take care of us, get us drinks and whatnot. So he takes us around to the bar. This lady, she had to be mid-40s.
Yeah.
Starts grabbing this guy's junk.
When you say junk, you mean like balls?
Balls.
Okay. You can say balls on this.
First, she credit carded him. Do you know what that is?
Yeah.
Yeah, wait.
That's where you take the credit card and swipe it down the ass.
Well, she did it. Well, she did that with her fingers.
Gross.
Yeah. Then grabs his balls like 3 or 4 times.
She's just walking around doing this?
Yeah.
What a creep.
Right?
Yeah, that's creepy shit.
So then he's like, look, you need to leave me alone.
Yeah.
And then our friend Ryan is standing next to her. She turns to Ryan.
Yeah.
Starts grabbing his balls. He's like, you don't know me. You know, Ryan. Ryan goes, he goes straight Pasadena every time something happens like that.
Yeah. DJ Ryan?
Yeah, DJ Ryan.
Yeah. Okay.
And then I just started backing away because my wife is there. And I just started backing away, and I was like, yo, lady, you don't want these problems.
Yeah.
Oh. I was like, my wife is crazy. Yeah, my wife's a little crazy.
Yeah, Gemma will throw stuff. She will throw stuff for sure. She's crazy.
But isn't that just – I mean, that's Vegas, though. It's just like so weird.
Yeah, that's the – I think it's the Vegas environment.
Yeah, yeah.
It's so crazy because you become your environment. It's just weird.
Yeah. She's probably some very nice grocery
store clerk. No, she's not. No, she's not.
No.
She's like that everywhere.
Yeah.
And she walks into the casino and turns into that.
No. She's like that everywhere.
She's like that everywhere.
She's like that everywhere.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah.
No rules in Vegas.
Nah, no rules in Vegas.
Yeah.
I was watching. Man, I wish I had this YouTube video. I saw it online or on Instagram. And, you know, I forgot it was a rapper from like the 80s or 90s, whatever. But what he said is, you are what you consume and you need to change your diet. Mm. And I thought that was so deep. Yeah. Because when I say change your diet, I'll mean your food. He goes, that too, because you are what you eat.
Right.
But it's everything you put in your body is your diet. It's what you watch on TV. It's the music you listen to. It's the books you read. It's the movies you watch.
Yeah.
It's the people you hang out with. That's your diet.
It's energy, man.
It is, man.
It's energy.
You hang around smut, you become smut.
Yeah.
You hang around douchebags, you become a douchebag. You know what I mean? You hang around drug dealers, you become a drug dealer. Yeah. Even if you don't sell it, you do it. That's why they have that term, guilty by association.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You associate with that person. You're guilty. You can sit there and go, but I don't do drugs. Right. You hang out with drug dealers. Yeah. It doesn't fucking matter. You know what I mean? You hang around stupid people, you become stupid. It's just, it's like... You eat shitty food, you're a shitty person.
Yeah.
You're not going to have abs if you eat donuts all day.
Right.
It's just real. Like, so that it's like change your environment, man. If you're trying to get to something in life and you, God, I'm getting preachy again.
No, but
I hate
right.
being preachy, but it's so true. It's like if you change your environment, it happens naturally, man.
Here's the thing, man. We all have vices, right?
Yes, we do.
We all have vices. But here's the thing. If it's not good, it's bad. It's a real simple rule to live by.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So not to say we don't do anything wrong, because like, I, you know what I mean? Like I don't do anything bad. I'm just saying if you go, if it's not good, it's bad.
Exactly.
It's very simple.
Yeah. Exactly. It's a very simple rule.
You know what I mean? Now, you're going to have days where you do some bad shit, but whatever.
I love the fact that I have changed a lot of people in my life. And I feel like the people that are in my life now are very positive and healthy for my soul and for where I want to get.
Mm-hmm.
And this started like maybe 2 years ago, you know what I mean, when I changed my management.
Mm-hmm.
My agency switched,
right,
and I stayed with CAA,
yeah,
because I love the agents that stayed. You know, the OG guys, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Frank and all those guys. It's just like, you know, you and everybody else, Chris, you know, Corolla. It's just like, I feel like that's that new Gary, Nick. Like, you know what I mean? Amy, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. These are all like positive roles that have come into my life.
Yeah.
And it's made me a different person.
Yeah.
Indirectly, it's made me a different person. Like, because of my surroundings, because of who I was with before, made me do dumb shit, and I do it not like I wanted to do dumb shit. It just happened that way.
Yeah,
because I was next to it.
It's just that's your environment.
Yeah, whatever, it's my environment. So when this dude, you know, whatever, whoever I was hanging out with was doing dumb shit, I'm just gonna naturally do it.
Yeah,
because it's next to me.
Yeah,
but when I'm surrounded with people that are like trying to produce a show or trying to do this,
yeah,
you know what I mean? You know, like,
that's the same for me. Yeah,
yeah, man. Yeah. It's you follow the same lead. Everyone's like, oh, okay, we're all on the same path, so this is good.
Yeah.
I got rid of the other shit.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm sorry to get preachy, but you know, it's just like,
I agree.
Yeah, it's what you consume, and you control your destiny. It's like, I don't know, man. We started off. I went all over the place, but it was just like I used Jordan and
Jeremy Lin
as an example, but it was just like indirectly they had a goal. And they went down this path, and there was nothing that was going to get in their lane. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Larry Jordan was his name.
Yeah.
Larry Jordan is Michael Jordan's brother. Watch the video. You'll trip the fuck out.
Thanks, man. Yeah.
He is tiny. Flies like Mike.
Yeah.
Fly looks like Mike. I didn't even think he sticks his tongue out like Mike. But anyways, I digress. But what I'm saying is, you guys,
start hanging upside down.
Start hanging upside down. Think about that dream you always wanted to do. Do it, man. The tools are there. Use them. It's not that hard, brah. Big shout out to Treasure Island, Las Vegas. I had a blast. You guys just need to clean your pollen that's in the air because I'm still affected by it. Big shout out to Chris Laxamana.
Oh.
What can we hear resume? What's coming up?
Oh, got Sam Levine from Freaks and Geeks.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Okay. That's dope.
Yeah. He'll be on this week.
Big shout out to Drano. Thanks for coming on the show. We're gonna go shoot some more videos, man. People are loving Dre.
Nice.
And then of course Nick.
Thank you. Great day.
I say we go get breakfast.
I'm down with that.
How much fun was this?
I love it.
I love it, man. I just straight talked on this one, right?
Yeah.
We just talked and we had fun. Yeah. Yo, so anyways.
Good stuff, man.
Feels good. You know what? The next time you listen to the Koi Pond, let's see if you had some type of comic goal that you not comic goal, maybe there was a goal that you wanted. Whether it's starting a business or doing a hobby or whatever it is, let's see by the next episode. Let's see if you've taken those small steps towards it.
Right?
Is that fair to say?
Yeah.
What do we do? Tweet me or something?
Tweet Joe at Joe Koi.
Yeah, or hit Chris Laxamana up. Right?
Yeah. We'll
just tell us what you did or what is it that you want to do? Start a small business? Whatever it is, man.
Can I kick it off?
Yeah, kick it off.
Last week I went to open mic for the first time in like a year at the Ice House.
Dope!
Nice.
I bombed real hard, but like I'm excited to go back.
Exactly. Nice. And that's the attitude you got to have, bro. That's amazing, man. Good job, man. Keep doing it. And go up everywhere. This is just to my stand-up comics. My stand-up comic friends, okay? Go up everywhere. Anywhere that has a microphone and they're saying open mic night, go. Don't go, oh, I don't want to go there. Yeah, it's just a restaurant. No one's there. No, go. Go. Oh, that place sucks. It's a lunch room.
Yeah, terrible
the student,
for comedy.
It's at the student union. It's terrible for comedy, man. They just put a microphone in front of the refrigerator and you entertain the students. Yeah? Go. Make one student laugh. You remember when I got this? Ha! That was the only motherfucker listening that day. And guess what? I was the happiest kid alive, man. And not only that, it made me stronger. When you can do those rooms, you can do any room. Everyone thinks, oh, how do you play 1600? That's easy. Play two play two people in a goddamn coffee house with an espresso machine and a baby crying. Imagine trying to tell jokes to this. And the dog said, that's the end of my joke. And the dog said, my mom was like,
Dick.
So go up. Good job, Nick. Keep doing it.
That's what's up, Nick.
Yo, call us. Let us know. Send a tweet. Let us read it. Keep doing it, too. Whatever the case may be. I don't stop. We don't stop. You know what I mean? Just keep going, pushing, man. Keep pushing, man. It's fun. It's fun to watch that climb. Me and Dre are on some other shit right now. We're constantly trying to beat the last thing that we did. And that's a goal that you should have, too. Always think of new things, new ventures. You only live on this planet once, man. Leave your mark, bro. Whether with – just do it. God damn it. Nike said it best. Just do it. Yo, that's the Koi Pond, you guys. I love you. I'll see you next week, right? Yep. Chris Loxamana.
Next week is our one-year anniversary.
One-year anniversary. We should have fun. I'm going to get some people in here. Nick, I love you. Dre, have a good day, you guys.
Thanks.
Love you.
I just woke up and I said, this. No, instead of waiting on a good day, waiting around through ups and downs, waiting on something to happen, I just said,